you know what that story is. We just sang about it. In fact, a couple of songs had to do with that wondrous story. From John's account of the gospel in chapter 19, beginning at verse 14, I'm sorry, verse 16, John said, "So he delivered him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is in Aramaic, Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. And Pilate wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.' Pilate answered and said, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it. Let us cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, 'I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth, and when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." The song, "Oh, Listen to the Wondrous Story," has also gone under the title of "What Did He Do?" from that line in the chorus. I've noticed in the paperless hymnal, they also have another version that's identical to the first, except the title is, and the wording is, "Oh, Listen to Our Wondrous Story." And I suppose there are many of us who sing it that way inadvertently, because that's what we're accustomed to. That song was written by James Martin Gray, an Episcopal pastor, in 1905. He served as the president of Moody Bible Institute from 1904 to 1934. He is somewhat remembered as being one of the seven editors of the original Scofield Reference Bible in 1909. History has not really preserved any kind of story about the writing of those words of that particular song. But the words themselves are enough of a stimulus or a motivation to think deliberately, carefully about the wondrous story. The word wondrous in the English language means wonderful or remarkable. The word wondrous occurs 15 times in the King James translation of the Bible, and all 15 times occur in the Old Testament. Not only that, the word is a little bit unusual because there is only one form of the word in Hebrew used in the Bible. And it's not a word that lends itself to several different meanings. It's only used in the Bible for one thing, and every single reference that uses the word wondrous either attaches it to wondrous works or wondrous things. And the author of those works, those things, you guessed it, is always God in every single case. The word is never used in the Bible to refer to anything man-made, man-generated, not anything at all that came from man. Every single time in Scripture the word wondrous is used, it refers to what God has done, what God has provided, His wondrous works, His wondrous things. The word doesn't occur in the New Testament. It's only there in the Old Testament. It's an interesting word, especially when you understand that the Bible only uses it to refer to that which God has done. It is a word that naturally lends itself well to the title and to the words of several of the songs that we are familiar with. In addition to the one that we just sang, "Oh, listen to the wondrous story." What about this one? "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but He freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By His hand I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea." Here's another one that we don't sing here, don't know that we have. We ought to. It's a good, it's a nice song. "What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreaded curse for my soul, for my soul? To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb who is the great I Am, while millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. Then when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on." You don't need me to once again remind us of how important it is to think about the words that we're singing as we speak them in song to one another and to God. Oh, how important those words are. Oh, listen to the wondrous story, counted once among the lost. Yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. I believe the writer refers to us when he says, counted once among the lost. Just as Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we studied this morning, without God's grace, without the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we'd still be lost. There could be no salvation without God's grace. No angel could his place have taken, higher than the high, though he. The loved one on the cross forsaken was one of the Godhead three. Even though the writer of Hebrews refers to Jesus as having been made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, the songwriter is true in saying that there was no angel, even the highest ranking angel, highest of the high, though he would not have been able to take his place on the cross. Because you see, Jesus was taking our place on the cross. Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He tasted of death for every man, the writer says. And so, no, it would have been impossible for anyone else other than one of the Godhead three to die on that cross. There is a third verse that's not in our books. I'm not sure why this verse is left out, but it's left out of almost every publication that I've been able to find that has this song in it. But here, this verse was a part of the original writing. And yet this wondrous tale proceedeth, stirring heart and tongue aflame. As our high priest in heaven he pleadeth, and Christ Jesus is his name. A wondrous story, a wondrous tale, stirring heart and tongue aflame. And then to us, the third verse, it would really have been the fourth verse in the original song, is the challenge, the invitation. Will you surrender to this Savior, to his scepter humbly bow? You too shall come to know his favor. He will save you now. Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon the cross? What did He do? He died for you. Where is He now? Believe it thou in heaven, interceding. He intercedes for us. After having died for us, don't think that it was just a one-time thing. Jesus went to the cross, and after it was over with, he says, okay, I'm done. No, he continues to this very moment interceding for us in heaven. Our mediator. It is a wondrous story. It's made possible by God's grace. In fact, it is a part of God's grace. As we studied this morning, God's grace is that which God has provided for us, and part of God's provision was the providing of the sacrifice for Calvary's cross. You remember what Abraham was told back there in the early chapters of Genesis after he did exactly as God told him to do and went to the mountain that God had showed him, and there he built an altar and laid the wood and bound his son and put him on the wood and was about to take his life. And God stopped him. Well, what was he going to offer? You remember the conversation that Abraham had had with Isaac before they went up the mountain? Isaac said, "Father, here's the wood, and we have the fire. Where's the lamb?" You remember what Abraham told him? "God will provide." And God did. Then, and God provided the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And that, too, is a part of God's grace. I don't know of a better way to sum up and to conclude than with these words in this song. We don't know this song. Seems like a nice song when I read the words. Listen to what they say. It's entitled, "Only a Sinner." "Naught have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I'm now a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it would I embrace. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." This is the only other song that Mr. James Martin Gray is remembered to have written. And he wrote this one within a year or so of writing, "Oh, Listen to the Wondrous Story." That's the best we can be. Only sinners saved by grace. Saved by grace through faith. The gift of God. The gift that must be received. The gift that is for everybody who will receive it. The gift that produces an eternal reward only in Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why wouldn't you do it tonight? We're going to sing this song in just a minute. We call this our invitation song. The fact is, it's Jesus who has offered the invitation. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are the one who needs to respond to that invitation. Or if perhaps you have obeyed the gospel but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not turn away from sin, once again rededicate your life to His service, and continue to walk hand in hand with Jesus? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.